I always think it's really important to show people how low quality our podcast
I love how low quality our podcast is. It brings me so much joy.
Welcome, everybody, to the Mitts and Twigs podcast, audio specific. And for our YouTube fans, thank you for sticking around as well.
It's
I
gonna be
am.
edited.
No, just the middle part. This is the intro. This is the intro
Oh, sorry.
for the audio podcast that I will not edit
I thought you were
because
taking
I
two
really like that
shots at
start.
me. Okay.
No, goodness, no. I mean, I will. I'm taking way many more, but
Yeah, of
that's for
course.
later. That's
All
for
right.
later.
That's
For
fair.
now, we are just so happy to be back and talking to you all, talking hockey. We got a fun episode ahead. I mentioned YouTube. If you guys aren't already, please check us out on YouTube. We do have some exclusive content, some visual gags, so to speak, that are worthy seeing there. Also, just seeing our ridiculous expressions and the Mitts Cave and Twig's Lair, I think it's worthwhile. But today on the podcast, we have for you our way, 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 way too early power rankings. Briggs, I don't know about you, but I went 1 through 32. Did you do the full list or did you cheat?
I stopped at 21.
That's smart.
Yeah,
I should have.
I stopped at 21 because I was looking and I was researching and looking on Cap Friendly and Daily Faceoff and all those great sites that is just free ads right there, baby. But still, they're free websites. So I don't really give a crap. But I was like, after 21, I really don't care. None of those teams really have a chance to make it. And I like, well, yeah, they just don't. In my honest opinion, the New Jersey Devils of the league, the the freaking Chicago Blackhawks of the league, the Arizona University Coyotes of the league, the San Jose Sharks. Those guys, they're just not the Buffalo Sabres. Ooh, cool, own power. You're not winning anything this year, even though it would be nice to have Jeff Skinner finally make the playoffs. That would be amazing. Won't happen, but it would be nice. But yeah, so I stopped at 21. You're a little bit overachiever and went all 1 to 32. And I appreciate that. That's why I do this with you, Matt. The work ethic.
I appreciate that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought it was because I drink on the podcast and it
I
makes
love that
for a
too.
great. Yeah. Gonna pour a beer right now. No, I actually found it really, I found it easier when I was going through to first settle into who were the bottom teams. Those are really easy and quick to identify. And then as I started to get up around 21, especially maybe a little earlier, that's when I started to have troubles. So then I went back to the top and I started bouncing back and forth. And then I looked at my final list and I hated it. I moved a couple teams around, and that's where I ended up. But I'm pretty sure that my final list is going to probably match the standings at the end of next season perfectly.
Yeah, you did so well last year. On all the times you did this, you did so well. I'm so excited for you.
History be damned. I think this time I got a feeling.
Hope so.
Before we dive into that, a quick recap. We won't go into the same level because, as I said, the visual aspect will be gone. But the question that is on everybody's mind that I'm going to put to you that I talked to you about earlier, Pekka now retired, close to 400 wins, heck of a goals against average, save percentage. Vezina, is he a Hall of Fame caliber goaltender?
So we just did a really well, and if you a well producted and produced YouTube on this, and if you haven't seen it, go to YouTube, our fellow listeners. It'll be there. Yeah, I think, and here's where I'm gonna get in trouble for this, and this is where it doesn't make any sense. And I know I'll hear about this. Is I just said Carey Price is not a Hall of Famer, and now I have to argue my to argue the same thing. I just like was beating the drum saying Pecorine is a Hall. Those numbers are ridiculous.
Yep.
They're insane. I can't remember the top. Was it 368 wins in
Something like 369, maybe, but yep, same,
yeah,
give
and
or take there.
600 something games is impressive. I know you, and I'm sure you're going to share your opinion, so I'll let you save that. But I just think those numbers are crazy. No, did his team win the cup? No, they didn't, but they sure got close. They got really, really close. Now, to the Nashville Predators in history, probably have one of the strongest organizational D cores. Yeah, they love their D. You know what I mean?
They love the D almost as much as Kelowna.
You suck. I had that. It was coming. And if you don't know the reference that Matt is talking about here, the Kelowna Rockets, the WHL team, are also known as a D factory. And when I say D, ladies and gentlemen, I'm meaning defense. So this is a hockey podcast. Chill out. All right. Yeah. But yeah, I think Pekarene should be in the Hall of Fame. That's my take. Is it great? No, but I also don't make the decisions on who goes in.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Someday, soon, maybe never, but someday, maybe. I think I'm not so much saying that Pekarene has no business in the Hall of Fame, because as you said it, the numbers are fantastic. Top 20 all-time in wins in the NHL. Other comparable players that aren't yet in the Hall of Fame, but maybe have more wins or in that same range, his goals against, his save percentage are significantly better. So the argument is there. And, you know, realistically, I think we can all look at that and say, man, that guy was a great goaltender. And at some point, he probably should be in the Hall of Fame. I think my hesitation comes from a point of there are other goaltenders that I think are more accomplished. And if you want to know more about that, please, by all means, check out the YouTube. There's another plug there.
Yeah, how many YouTube plugs have we done in the first 5 minutes here? Hey, if you guys didn't know,
this is so smooth.
Guys, if you didn't know, and Mitz and I have been working on this for a long time now, we have a YouTube channel. Does it have lots of subscribers? No. Does it get a ton of views? No. But you can change that. You, our fellow listeners, can change it. Our loyal listeners. Just take a gander. Look at Mitz Beard. Leave a little commadoo, you know? And then, I'm done with YouTube. But yeah, go hop over. It's probably already saved in your web search, you know?
Yeah. Okay. Right under Pornhub.
Oh, shit.
I mean, below, not under. Like, no one's going to hide YouTube underneath a Pornhub link. It's the other way around, obviously. But I think that Rene probably will be in the Hall of Fame at some point. I don't know. I think maybe a little too early. Definitely not like a first opportunity kind of guy. Hot takes, controversial aside, now we're just going to go to what I'm sure everybody will agree with is our power rankings for these teams that haven't played any hockey in months. I don't know. Let's do this. Let's start at the bottom, or at least 21, I believe, is where you bottomed out there.
Do you want to start right at 21, or do you want to go start 15? It's up to you.
Let's start. Let's get in there.
Deep. Okay.
Let's go deep.
Okay. All right. I'm ready.
Elbow deep.
That's Jacob Trouba's team, and you owe him an apology. Okay. You want me to start or you want to go?
By all means.
Okay, 21. And this is, if you were to ever like look at the landscape of the, why do I have two pens? if you ever to look at the landscape of the NHL and realize, holy cow, it can change in like a snap of your fingers. Like, look at St. Louis. They were bottom team, won a Stanley Cup, just like that. Boom, now they're a contender every year. The karma gods have finally brought us fans peace. The Vegas Golden Knights are ranked 21 on my power rankings. Who's their goalie? Who is it? Nolan Patrick's out. They just shipped out Pacioretty. They're like, oh man, we need that LTIR space. We need it. Well, guess what? Max Pacioretty got hurt. Now he's on LTIR for Carolina. This is what happens when your ownership, and I also want to applaud ownership, because they're not like afraid to spend money. They will spend it, they will pay it, they will get whoever they want. But it also is starting to leave a bad taste in players' mouths. Max Pacioretty just got shopped out. Alan Walsh has a podcast with Adam Wilde on, I can't remember what's it on, but he's very vocal, and if you ever want to listen to an agent's perspective, go check that out. But yeah, I just think this team, we're gonna, like, no goalie, its depth is lacking, which what it was built on. This team misses the playoffs easily. And I pray for Logan Tom was his name, Thompson or Thomas? What is that goalie's name? I'll let you go 21, but that's how bad Vegas is.
Do you think now with his injury, Vegas will try to play the Uno card, Uno reverse, and be like, no, we want it back now, and we're willing to pay upwards of what you gave us?
Oh, dang, future considerations rejected our trade.
I mean, maybe that is a future consideration right there. Like, you know, for my 21 and for all our loyal listeners out there, I did the full 32. Hmm. I'm a man that goes all the way. That's why they call me All the Way Mitts. But yeah, I think I was surprised when I kind of got even to the low 20s that there were a lot of teams that, I could look pretty silly with these rankings because of where they're at, because it's not as cut and dry once you get between, say, 24 and 7. That's what I'm going to stay there. But for 21, I've got a team that not too long ago looked like they were on the cusp of being a powerhouse. Not too long ago seemed like they had it all figured out and just needed something to go their way, a puck bounce to go their way. And in this offseason, they still may sign an impact player. However, at 21, I've got the New York Islanders. I don't think they've improved themselves. I know that last year they started off with a horrible schedule, and there's a lot of genuine reasons why they played the way they did. The record was what it was. But as I was putting together this power ranking, they kept sliding down, even though kind of part of me wants to put things that they have shot at the playoffs. They kept sliding down. They just seem like a team at the wrong part of the crossroads. I think they're going to need a lot of puck luck to keep it together, to take the next step. And I don't think that they're actually going to get there. So for 21, I've got the New York Islanders.
Yeah, I'm going to save my New York Islanders pitch and where I think they are for a little bit later, not too far from where you are, but just a little bit later. But yeah, I agree with what you're saying. It's organizationally, they took a shift. They got rid of like their identity in their coach and Barry Trotz. And now it's kind of like, who are they? And again, I don't know, freaking Lou Lamoriello, just sign your players, man. Nobody gives that much about, like, nobody cares that much about like waiting for you till September to announce your signings. Mm-hmm. Just do it. Like, you're not hurting anybody.
Lou Lamoriello is the guy at your local poker game wearing sunglasses and a hat.
And that sucks at it. Like, he's terrible.
Lou Lamoriello. He's read all the books. He can tell you all the angles, but he just sits there and sweats with his giant oversized lady sunglasses hoodie.
Can we talk about how bad, also, this is what I'm meaning, your poker analogy is perfect, is like, what's their prospect pool?
Matthew Barzal?
Is he? Yeah. Like,
I mean, at some point he'll be an NHL player, right?
I sure hope so. You know what? Let's chill on it. The guy, like,
even 2 years ago, he looked like he was going to be one of the premier offensive players.
4 years ago, his rookie year.
Even 2 years ago, they were still there, and he's not even the best center on his team because that's the other three checking forward centers that they have.
Pacioretty.
They get more ice time because I don't know. I've been trying to figure it out for a while.
Burst on the scene with 85. Potts, 85 points, 22 goals, 63 assists. You're like, holy frick. John Tavares, why did you leave?
Yeah.
Next year, 18-44-62. Okay, a little sophomore slump. That's fine. Like, you see it all the time. 19-41-60. Okay, maybe he's only a 60-point center. Like, what's going on here? But playoff success. Yeah. We're cool with it, right? Last year in a shortened year, he was okay. 55 games, 45 points. And then this year, 73 games, 59 points. He's just not what we thought he was. He's probably, like, career-wise, he'll probably be a solid second-line center. And there's nothing wrong with that. But stop trying to play him and sell him as a first line. He's just not that guy. That's my spiel.
See, I don't know. We'll save that for another episode. Free Matthew Barzal. But coming in at number 20, you can call me the Cold Water Patrol. Because I am just here dousing all the hype and all the excitement. The Columbus Blue Jackets at number 20 are not making the playoffs. They're gonna battle for it. They've got a chance, but Johnny Gaudreau does not a Stanley Cup champion make, as we've seen not that long ago.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Gaudreau signing was very, like, it was so exciting and it was such a big thing, obviously not for Flames fans, but just in hockey in general. Yeah. Like, it was an exciting, like, wow, when does this type of player become available and sign with a franchise? And it's like a small market team that hasn't been able to hold on to any of their homegrown talent, top tier talent around the league, let alone bring in impact free agents like this. And then you see Laine, who talks about how excited he is. Old Chrome Dome now. Patrick Laine, if you haven't seen it, please look that up. It's terrifying. And I do think they're going to take a step forward. And I think that it, very much in the next year or two, they could definitely be in that contender conversation. But they're going to play good hockey. Johnny Hockey's pretty good. But
amazing. He's pretty amazing.
They're not better than, I'd say, at least 15 of the 19 teams I have ahead of them. No. You can argue probably 3 or 4 of them, but they're not better than the top 15.
That division's tough too. That's not an easy division. But let's stay on Columbus because I also have them at 20, which is crazy.
Look at that.
That's crazy. I'm going to say this. Columbus's future is insane. Ken Johnson at the World Juniors right now. Michigan goal. Amazing. I'm a little bit over the Michigan goal. Everybody's doing it now. But it still is amazing. Johnny Gaudreau, out of this world, on a really team-friendly contract. He turned down more money from the Calgary Flames. Son of a... still hurts. Like almost 20 mil, Johnny. Like, it wasn't a little bit of money. It was 20 million. Think about that. Like, that's insane. Again, he's gone. I knew this would happen. I knew when I started talking Columbus. But so they did a really good signing in Johnny Gaudreau. But then because of that, they had to trade away probably their best two-way winger in Bjorkstrand for basically nothing. Good on Seattle. That was a wicked pickup. Probably one of the most underrated pickups, kind of like the Philip Deneau one last year. This one's just solid. And then they overpaid. Again, they want to be Calgary so bad. They overpaid for Erica Branson. So you took one step forward, like actually a huge step and a couple steps back. That's why I also agree with you. The Columbus Blue Jackets are not making the playoffs and probably by a wide margin. I don't know.
Yeah.
But let me just keep this ball rolling here. And we already talked about it. I have 19, the New York Islanders. I don't know what their coach is. I don't know what type of structure they're going to play. They added zero offense. Are they signing Kadri? Are they not signing Kadri? I'm pretty sure if Kadri was offered 7x7, he would have signed it by now. This team is going to live in the past couple Eastern Conference finals and how close they were. And it just feels like they're just going to grip onto that for as long as they can and keep paying Matt Martin and Kyle Clutterbuck and, like you said, all these fourth line grinders playing them in the second line, elevated roles for no reason. It's just not going to work out. It's just not a recipe for success. They have two solid goalies though, and Noah Dobson is going to be a star. So guess who got, you know, Calgary again, you traded for Travis Hamonic, and now Noah Dobson is a star. So that hurts as well. A lot of Calgary sadness today. That's my 19 team, the New York Islanders.
Coming at 19, we don't go far. A team that I've been kind of excited about for the last couple of years as a secondary squad for myself, and haven't been able to put it together just yet. I think they still have a fair bit of runway. But I've got the New Jersey Devils at 19. I think that, I mean, obviously that's still not quite a playoff position, but I think they're going to be closer. I think they're going to be in that hunt. A lot of their young talent is developing, is kind of getting there. And I think that we're going to see some better production from them. It'll be interesting. The goaltending situation for them is really interesting. Because Mackenzie Blackwood, let's say a year and a half ago, was a guy that was considered maybe the next great Canadian goaltender, or at least the best we had.
Yeah, the average Canadian goalie. That's not like you're adding words here, man.
He was possibly going to be on our Olympic team when we had thoughts about having an Olympic team, which is significant. And he just had just a terrible season of injury. And now the narrative, the idea is that is more so leaning towards, will this guy ever actually be anything? Is this could have been or should have been, and is it already over? But they brought in Vita Vanacek, who has, to my mind, at least shown that he can push the starter and maybe fill some minutes. Still yet to see what he is, if he is anything ever going to be more than a 1B or a decent backup goaltender. But it's a little bit maybe better than, say, Scott Wedgwood's of the world. This is more hopeful. Mm-hmm. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe they have shed everyone's favorite PK Subban.
They have.
So that in and of itself, and jokes aside, I do think PK is a wonderful human being. But last year's slew foot palooza was crazy. Atrocious. And so yeah, there was a big contract that really is probably going to help them moving forward, making better decisions. Hopefully, can't guarantee anything, but that's my number 19. I've got New Jersey Devils.
I do not have New Jersey on my list at all, but I do want to say, and this is probably the biggest reason, is they were in on every big name. It was DeBrincat, it was Johnny Gaudreau, it was Matthew Tkachuk. It felt like every big name, the New Jersey Devils were like second place, and that's okay. You know, hopefully they can catch a win sometime. Jack Hughes looks like a stud. But I'm with you. They could easily be in the top 20. Easily. That team has all the pieces. Goaltending and health is the biggest thing. Dougie Hamilton didn't play a lot last year either way. I'm done 19. We're on to number 18. Holy number frick. 18. Number 18. Dallas Stars. And this one was tough because Dallas could be higher, but they've also, like, they added Marchment, who I think is going to be really good. They're playing hardball with Jake Ottinger right now, who I would offer him the world. That kid is unreal. And also Jason Robertson, who's their best forward this past year, is also unsigned as an RFA. So I don't know what they're doing. You know what? They got out of the John Klingberg sweepstakes, rightfully so. Nobody wanted that 8x8 contract, even though they offered him 7x7.1 or something, which he should have taken. I just think Dallas is in a weird spot. They still have two really high-end players that are getting paid a lot of money. Tyler Seguin, the hip surgery. It seems like once you have a hip surgery, your career is done, or it's just not the same at all. And Jamie Benn. Bro had won an Art Ross and then disappeared off the face of this planet. Like, he's like, where'd you go, Jamie? Mm-hmm. But yeah, there's a lot of question marks with them. Their first line's dynamic. Rope Hintz, Jason Robertson, Joe Pavelski, electric second best line in hockey last year by like underlying numbers. I'm not saying Austin Matthews, Mitch Marner, they were amazing as two. Same with the St. Louis teams. I'm just saying Dallas Stars at 18, baby. That's it. That's all I'm saying.
Fair enough. Yeah, we'll get into that in a little bit more. My number 18. I've got your Vancouver Canucks.
Mine.
Yours, Twigs. Mine. Just your, the people in general, the team of the people that everyone's pulling for, really, when you go out there on the streets and you engage with people, or maybe it's just me because I live in Vancouver.
It's when you.
I
talk to people.
I initially, like, kind of going into this, thought I would have them higher because I have some excitement around them. I saw them live last year a number of times, and I think they've got a lot of talent. They've got a lot of young talent. They've got one of the best goaltenders in the world right now in Thatcher Demko.
Unreal.
And they've got a lot of young talent that should be establishing themselves, you know. But when I really looked at the squad, I think where I kind of had difficulty putting them higher is that their defense is a little shallow, and not like high end, but shallow, but like maybe slightly above mediocre and shallow. So that's worrisome. And we are expecting or hoping or assuming that their forwards continue to take a step forward. And, you know, like Elias Pettersson had kind of a step back year last year for the most part.
First
not
half.
A bad year, not a bad, yeah, not a bad year overall, but, you know, and so it's probably being too optimistic to assume that they're going to continue to grow in a manner that pulls them higher. So I think they're going to be in it. I think they're going to be competitive. Maybe they won't start the year as far behind the eight ball or as they did this year. And so they'll be in it a little bit later because of early work. But yeah, number 18, I've got the people's team, the Vancouver Canucks.
I'm going to save my Vancouver take. I'm actually surprised I have Vancouver higher than you. Yeah. That actually blows my mind because you were all on Brucey B last year. Just, oh, look at this record. Oh my gosh, there's nobody better. He's so good. St. Louis,
Bruce,
who, basically.
Bruce, there it is.
Yeah, oh, please stop. That was so bad. That was so bad. But let's keep this moving here until we get to the 10s at least. I have number 17, and I don't have a lot to say about them, but it's the Washington Capitals.
I have the Washington Capitals at 17.
Maybe I'll let you talk about them because I'm like bored of the Washington Capitals. Nothing interests me. I think Alex Ovechkin's going to win some games. Darcy Kemper's an improvement. But other than that, I'm like, you lost Nick Backstrom. You have some other injuries. Just kind of nothing's, and you know, it'd be crazy if we had Caps fan. Listen, they don't interest me at all. They have a good squad, like an okay squad, but like I'm not watching any Capitals game this year. I'm just not excited for them. And that's all I got to say is Washington Capitals 17. And please, please, we'll see some Ovi clappers, right? Mm-hmm. That's what we'll see. But maybe some Dylan Strome goals. Cool. But other than that, you're not winning anything, not with that team.
Yeah, I think that's kind of pretty much where my mind was at. Like, there's enough talent there that they're not bottom feeders. They're probably going to be fighting for a playoff spot. But I mean, come on, this is the Ovi victory lap. You know, you look at this team up and down, then the talent isn't really quite there. Again, they're not bottom feeders. They've got a lot of proven talent, but they're not close to the top 10 in terms of anything, really, in my opinion. They brought in Darcy Kemper, whom, coming fresh off the Stanley Cup victory, I don't think he's going to save them. I think, honestly, I probably would have put Washington a little bit lower.
Yeah.
Except they signed a personal favorite of mine, Charlie Lindgren, off he was UFA from the Blues. Guy had a 50 save shutout for the Springfield team in the Blues farm system, and they're getting him for next to nothing. But yeah, I think that's it. I know that guy's talented enough, and he's hungry enough, and the man can face some rubber. But I just don't see it. I just don't see this team doing anything, and that's why we have them at 17.
I can't believe we've had two of the same numbers. That's actually crazy. Are my power rankings gonna suck?
Like, it probably makes for The fact that we have so little conflict probably really speaks to why we're not better and more famous than we are.
Yeah, maybe.
No one wants to watch two guys that are friends be like, I agree, that's a great point. All right, yeah. Well, I'm glad we agree on that. Number 16, I've got your Dallas Stars, your 18th team Dallas Stars.
Nice.
And I mean, hearing you talk about them, I almost tried to drag them lower. Because God, they suck. They do have a lot of talent, but I mean, how different are they than Washington, minus the previous success, in that their best players are getting further and further from their best years. They've got a 68-year-old Joel Pavelski leading the way, playing some of his most inspired hockey, which is amazing.
He's unreal.
But the what should be their core, what should be what they're building their team around, that they're, you know, just throwing bags of money at, is their all-world goaltender in Ottinger. And they're fantastic, but, you know, maybe not quite like top player in the league yet, Robertson. Just throw back to a previous episode where I really got upset about the fact that he was up there. But anyways, it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy that you have three players making probably a third of your salary cap, whose total combined ages are over 100 years old. And you've got two players combined age 40 who are bona fide superstars. And for whatever reason, you don't have them under contract, but you have the complete ability to do so. So yeah, Dallas, they do have a lot of talent. Not that long ago, they were in there. And I mean, if some of those older guys find it again, if they can put it together, there's a chance.
Oh,
didn't they bring in Pete DeBoer?
Yeah, I love Pete DeBoer. That's an upgrade on Rick Bonas. Like, I'm just saying.
I can't stand the guy, but I mean, he's
still
he's,
an upgrade.
He's dragged worse groups of men to the playoffs. So Dallas has made the playoffs the last couple of years. I don't see why they wouldn't have a good chance of doing it this year, but they're my number 16 team.
The craziest thing is Tyler Seguin's the highest paid player in the NHL this year. Like cash-wise, like that is the actual cash. That is crazy.
Possibly not really that interesting to our listener base, but as I've come to find out through other things, possibly the biggest player. I'm trying not to use any overly derogatory terms. Biggest player previously amongst the league has also been locked down.
Pimp.
He's finally been locked down.
And that was a free agent for years.
He was, you know, if you're watching YouTube, I don't have anything in my eye.
Big womanizer. Big. Womanizer. That's a good one.
You know, like the
Want to use the term.
Derek Jeter, but without the fruit basket. But apparently he's finally been he signed to the dotted line. So I mean, who knows? Maybe that will improve his game. Maybe it will tank his game. I don't know. Maybe he's going to show up fat and happy. That happens to the best of us.
Johnny,
but who do you have? Coming in at number 16.
I have
for your power ranks.
I'm actually like probably the best offseason I've seen in a long time. I'm super stoked about this. Rest in peace, Eugene Melnyk, but your two daughters are running a tight ship, like a tight ship. They approved the DeBrincat trade. It all goes to the owners, right? They are like, spend it all. Claude Giroux, DeBrincat trade. Let's go get Cam Talbot. Let's spend, you know, let's lock down Josh Norris. They are running a tight ship, and Pierre Dorion is like allowed to be a GM, and he's making bold GM moves, like big moves, and it's going to pay off. I have them at 16th. Does that mean that they make the playoffs? Maybe, maybe not, but they're going to be right there. They're going to be fighting. Again, that division is tough. Like, there's a lot of top end teams in that division, and I love everything Ottawa's doing. Like, if you would have told me a year ago, and I know there was rumors about Claude Giroux going back home, but you just looked at the team and you're like, how can a guy that wants to win a Stanley Cup go back home and play, you know, for that team? Like, it just doesn't make any sense to me after struggling in Philadelphia. That team's ready. Tom Chabot should take a step. Brady Tkachuk should take a step. Josh Norris is a legitimate number one C. Tim Stutzle will take a step. I'm excited. Like, I'm excited. No, never in my life have I ever said I'm excited for Senators hockey. I'm over here about to buy a jersey for no, like, just to be a fan. I probably won't, but still.
Yeah.
Go Senators. I'm on the bandwagon. Last year was Minnesota. It's this year. It's the Senators. That's my Eastern Conference team I'm riding with. I was also on the Rangers too. Okay, I have two teams. But right now it's Senators Flames. Diehard Flames, bandwagon Senators. Lock it in. I'm ready.
I mean, it would go, if you got it yourself, a Brady jersey, it would go really well next to your Matthew jersey. Coming in at 15. And I don't want to make anyone think that there's collusion, but I have a sneaking suspicion, and I don't know why. Maybe it's just because this team stinks. I have a sneaking suspicion that we're going to match up on our 15 again. And so I'm just going to throw it out there. At 15, I've got the Nashville Predators. You talked about it previously, earlier when we were talking. You brag about them all the time. You're short, being UC Saros. Man's going to come back healthy. You know, all things considered, hopefully, just a stud. Somehow, some way, somewhere along their career, Ryan Johansson and Matthew Duchene have finally shown up. Who'd have thunk it? The team's good. It's not terrible. It's certainly not terrible. And as much as I want to hate on the team and make fun of them, Nashville, from all things that I can see, puts on one heck of a show. So as a fan, I would love to go see a game in Nashville. Ideally, they're not playing my Blues so that I can pretend that I'm cheering for the Predators. You know what I mean? But it seems like they're right there. They've still got all kinds of great pieces. I mean, there's no lock that they're going to make the playoffs, but I think they're going to be in the hunt. They're going to be competitive right there, even in that crazy tough division. So number 15, I've got the Nashville Predators. Hit me, Twigs.
We did not match up.
The absolute worst.
I'm a little bit on the Nashville train right now. They're a little bit higher. I have Vancouver Canucks. This team is, you know what? You said the things about the defense, and I get it. It's not great. It's just not great. But a team with that, like, offensive core should be able to, like, hide some defensive, you know, like, I don't know. Like, I think about it. I'm like, but then reality hits me. I'm like, JT Miller's not getting 100 points again. There's no way. There's just no way he's getting 100 points again. But Elias Pettersson could play better and maybe steal some of those points. Mikheyev, who they just signed, could also steal some of those points. And they just got that Russian Kuzmenko, KHL star. Like, this team should be good. The Pacific should be good. And really, it's between three teams, Vancouver, Calgary, Edmonton. Maybe LA. Do I have LA higher? And LA. Don't forget LA. Sorry. It's between four teams. Edmonton, Calgary, whatever. We're done. But I'm a little bit higher on them. Their goaltender's amazing. Should be able to win them more games. Bruce Boudreau, like you've said, all year in our group chat, is a hell of a coach. He is amazing. He knows how to bring out the best. And I really hope for Brock Besser, who's had a tough offseason, he has a great year. The guy's been going through a lot. Let's just keep going. Number 14, I have the Boston Bruins.
Sorry, Joe.
Yeah, sorry, Joe. Your Boston Bruins stink. Again, they should be higher. They should be, but they have so many injuries. And are they going to overcome those injuries? Maybe. There's a lot. Charlie McAvoy, Brad Marchand. It feels like it's wedding season in Bruins, you know, Bruins town. Like, every other week, there's a Bruin getting married. Did they get some sweet team-friendly deals? Oh, Patrice Bergeron and David Krejci? Bro, basically just they're going to come just, you know, on a stage this year and just, like, show what they got, and that's it. So, yeah, they're going to be good. Not that good. Again, Joe, they stink, and I really hope you listen to this. And Pasternak's going to leave you next year, and I'm going to laugh. I'm going to laugh. It's going to feel so good. It's going to feel so great. Okay, your turn.
And number 14, I've got the Los Angeles Kings. I like a lot of what the Kings have done. You mentioned Dano last year was just fantastic. And what he's meant to that team, what he's allowed the other players on that team to do is fantastic. It's so good. Just really balanced them well. And man, they were gamers. They were gamers in the playoffs against Edmonton. What should have been an easy sweep. They made it look interesting. I think where I couldn't move them higher was their goaltending. Jonathan Quick refound his form at certain points last year, which is fantastic, but I really can't expect that. And I don't think anybody should expect that again. And at this point, Cal Peterson still has not supplanted him, which makes me feel like that will never really come. So I think their goaltending tandem, it will be good. I don't think it will be good enough to push them too high, but they should be in the playoff hunt. They probably will be in the playoffs, in, you know, barring injuries. And yeah, I got them at number 14. Not a lot of sexy talk about it, but I just think they're a pretty solid team.
With a great draft pool. Like, I mean, like prospect pool, like their prospect pool, they're going to be great for in like years. I have LA a little bit higher, but why don't you shoot us your 13th team?
Number 13, unlucky 13. I've got your Minnesota Wild.
Shut up. I got Minnesota Wild at 13.
Perfect.
This sucks.
and that's because they kind of stink. Yeah. Listen, do they have some talent? Yeah, they do. They really do have some talent there. Is their captain a dirtbag? Does he try to intentionally injure people? But he also happens to be a pretty good defender when he's not trying to intentionally break legs and sever Achilles. Yeah, he's pretty good. He's pretty good. He's top level. Generally speaking, big Marc-Andre Fleury fan. They've committed to him. They've got a lot of good pieces there. They've got a lot of talent there. The thrill, Kirill the thrill. They've got him. Last year they finished pretty high. They were very successful.
Very high.
Here's the thing. And these things, I'm of the opinion that distractions play a role, especially as you get into the higher echelons. The more successful teams can eliminate those distractions. And I don't think that Minnesota's good enough to overcome distractions. And when I say distractions, what I'm talking about, if you don't know, is their very recent thin blue line night that they were promoting that had a bit of backlash. Most teams, many teams, all teams do a first responders style event. But usually they don't choose something that has a very negative tone around it for the majority of people, especially something that maybe flies in the face of someone who is leading, Hockey is for Everyone diversity action in Matt Dumba. I feel like that is going to cause an issue. Matt Dumba is one of their best players. It's going to cause an uncomfortable conversation. It's going to cause tension. Moving on from the social aspect, there's, of course, and we haven't got into any of this stuff in depth, there's that Hockey Canada, that gosh darn Hockey Canada stuff going on. A lot of players came out saying very strong language around the terms of, I was not there, I was not a part of it, I had no awareness of it. Marc-Andre Fleury's comment was no comment. In the moment, it wasn't a prepared statement, I get it. Maybe it was just unfortunate, but the off season is softball. The off season is t-ball. It should be easy. You shouldn't be putting obstacles in your own way. And we're not going to go down that road today. That's for a different episode. Today is the power rankings. I think those are the things that are going to really separate Minnesota from the top tier teams, is the fact that they're going to be constantly putting out PR fires and trying to make sure that everyone is okay and that people are not looking to leave and hate management. And I think that's going to be a distraction. That's going to cost them wins.
Yeah. The only thing I want to touch on, just on the social aspect of this, and I'm not very well, like when Mitz texted me the thing and all the social uproar about it, I really didn't know what was going on. I'll be honest, didn't really put anything together. I don't follow that stuff that well. I will say, after doing some reading, both Mitz and I support, well, I don't know about Mitz. I know, and I'm sure, like, we all support first responders in every way. Now, there is a narrative behind the one right now that is being supported. Yeah, it's a little bit weird. And that's all I really want to say on it. Doesn't make much sense. And usually when you have a huge uproar like that, you pull it, right? Again, mm-hmm. It was weird that they went out of their way and they announced, like, all the jerseys that they were doing, but they really pushed that t-shirt too, which was kind of weird. So, like, it was planned. Like, they're okay with it. And yeah. It's their organization. Like, there's nothing, I don't buy anything Minnesota Wild. On the hockey aspect of it, yeah, I just don't think Ryan Hartman's going to shoot 30% or high 20% goal rate. 37-year-old Marc-Andre Fleury, I love Fleury, but, like, really, they got rid of Kaapo Kähkönen and they lost Cam Talbot, which was a perfect 1A, 1B. And I get it why mm-hmm. Cam Talbot didn't want to be there. I get it. He feels like he lost a job. But, bro, that situation was great too. But he's going to do well in Ottawa. This is, we talked about our very first episode about the Kevin Fiala thing and the cap hurdles that the Minnesota Wild are going to have for buying out Ryan Suter and Zach Parise. You're seeing it right now. They have $14 million in dead space. 13, just shy of 13. They did not improve their team in any way. I know they were close in signing Mason Marchman, and then he chose Dallas. But they're just, that isn't good. Like, when you've got that much money in dead space and you're on the verge of doing something special, and really it's Kirill Kaprizov and nobody else. I love Joel Eriksson-Ek. I think he's great. Two-way center. He's a really good player, but you need more scoring. You just got rid of Kevin Fiala. He was a huge secondary scoring. They took a step back because of the cap, you know, the cap situation that they find themselves in. And I believe it to this day that they bought out those guys because they were going to sign Jack Eichel. Now, Minnesota Wild, I was on that bandwagon all last year. Fix your social cues, fix your way you want to present your team. If you want to support first responders, everybody and their dog supports first responders. That's EMS, EMT, firefighters, whatever, police officers. Of course I support them. But right now, in this world of craziness, I don't know if it's wise to be trying to bring some of that into your organization, especially when you have Matt Dumba, like Matt said beautifully. It just doesn't make any sense. And if you're upset with that, listeners, I'm sorry. That's just where I stand. And there comes a time where I love what they're doing with the jerseys. Last year, Matt and I talked about it almost every episode, the practice jersey. Vancouver is, like, one of the greatest ones that did it last year. And you're starting to see that change. There's just a time and a place. And right now, I don't know if that's the place. So,
yeah. And Jared Spurgeon sucks and he's a dirtbag. But who is your number 12? We're getting Nashville. Into the big boy numbers.
Nashville, baby.
Nashville, come
Nashville.
On.
Nashville. Nashville. I think, so we talked about how great their, you know, their decor is and how they're like Kelowna. They just added Ryan McDonagh that for free. Like, it was for nothing. He's still really good. He's very good. And that's great. That's a great ad. I love that. Johnny Gaudreau chose Columbus and Ryan McDonagh told Columbus no. It just freaking still mind boggles me. Sorry, every way I was trying to make this Flames, but yeah,
Branson obviously didn't have McDonough's number.
Yeah, no kidding. But I also think they stole Nino Niederreiter. I couldn't believe how long he went. He's great. Give me fuel, give me fire, give me Nino Niederreiter. I wish I didn't do that online. but I did. I'm all on the Nashville. Now, it all rides on Matt Duchene and Ryan Johansson. Can they pull off what they did last year? I don't know. I don't know if they can, but I think Philip Forsberg is going to pot you 40 easily. Their D's better. John Hines, all of a sudden he's an okay coach? Makes no sense to me. Like, is he a good coach? Like, David Poile saved his job? I don't know. I'm a little bit higher on Nashville, so I have them at 12.
Speaking of being a little bit higher, I got Boston at 12.
What? You?
Yeah, I know. I know. Maybe it was a little bit of, you know, whiplash from dogging them so bad last year, and they squeaked into the playoffs. But if you take that team that they had last year and you bring back Krejci, who I think realistically we have to, I'm sure as a fan, that's really exciting for Boston. It's not, I don't think it's necessarily his direct impact. It's that what that's going to free up other people to do, and it puts people into better positions to succeed. I think that they've and Swayman and Ullmark back there, I think, is a heck of a tandem. I think they're gonna continue to eke out a pretty good year. Now, looking at all those contracts, I think next year is going to be a very different year for Boston. And if they don't start strong this year, man, are they going to have some great draft picks. But going into the season, looking at what they've done, the pieces they've done, the continuity that they have on the ice with their players, the development. Yeah, I think that, barring any further injuries, barring anybody that is currently injured having setbacks, to me, Boston is borderline locked to make the playoffs. But it's important to note that they still stink.
Yeah, Joe, they still stink.
That's just facts.
Facts. Yep.
No feelings.
Hey, who won the cup against St. Louis, Boston? All right, St. Louis. Yeah, Boston stinks.
Boston stinks.
I'm gonna quickly sneak by 11 here because you already touched on them perfectly. I have LA there, and my biggest thing is I think they added a top six winger and Kevin Fiala on an already really good team. If goaltending stays where it was last year, which you said it probably won't, you're probably right. They could be really good. Quinton Byfield could take a step, and I think that team is deep down the middle and has Victor Arvidsson and now Kevin Fiala and Kempe, who is underrated as can be, and I have LA Kings at 11.
I think I initially thought I'd have LA higher, but then some other teams came into play, and especially my number 11 team, who my first run through, I looked at it, I was like, nah, it's way too low. Got to bring them up. Got to raise those numbers. And that is the darlings of the offseason, RIP Melnick. That's the Ottawa Senators.
Wow.
It feels weird to be excited about a team given the circumstances, but we move on, we move forward, we seize the day. That is life. And right now, the Ottawa Senators have seized the day. Pierre Dorion, once again, I've said this previously, apologies for thinking that you stank like the Boston Bruins. You don't. You smell great, like a Doug Armstrong. You did a great job. You brought in high caliber impact players, you fleeced a couple of teams on deals, and you already had one of the best young teams developing there. This is insane. Like the fact that you can bring in a guy who has possibly a Hall of Fame career already under the belt in Claude Giroux and still playing great. One of the best young goal scorers in the game, Alex DeBrincat, and a goaltender who still just defies my expectations and puts up the numbers in Cam Talbot. Like, this is phenomenal. They've done such a good job. I'm excited, and I'm not looking to temper anything. Ottawa is flying. They're going to do great. A couple podcasts ago, a couple months ago, I predicted that Tampa Bay would miss the playoffs, and you said who takes their spot? It is the Ottawa Senators. Hey gang, that's all for this week. Tune in next time for the top 10 way too early power rankings. We'll be dropping that episode probably sooner than you think, thanks to this super late episode. We appreciate so much that you listened through. If you haven't already, please check us out on YouTube, where you can see some of the pre-content that we recorded before this episode. Some special stuff, YouTube exclusive, funny, silly, goofy things. If you don't like that, then well, I don't know what you're doing here. Anyways, thanks so much. Check you later.